to begin our study tonight. We will not finish our study tonight of the next part of the Apostles' Creed, which is, He and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That is what we are coming to in our study tonight. I'm reading God's Word from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 19. Is the temperature okay for y'all? Y'all okay? Okay. All right. Mark 16:19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. It's very interesting that our Westminster forefathers had plenty of Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, and they had no doubt about the authenticity of Mark 16, verses 9 to 20. They repeatedly used verse 19 as a proof text of Christ's ascension and session at the Father's right hand. Of course, we noted last time when Christ sat down on the throne beside God the Father, He continued His mediatorial offices of prophet, priest, and king. As our great prophet, Christ continues by His Word and Spirit to reveal to us the will of God for our salvation. And you may remember that I pointed out that our resurrected, ascended, and exalted Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, dictated the letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. So we know that our Lord continued His work as our great prophet in revealing to us by His Word and Spirit the will of God for our salvation. And we will consider, God willing, next time the fact that by His ascension and sitting down at the Father's right hand, that the Holy Spirit was actually sent from before the Father and the Son on the day of Pentecost. And as our great high priest, our ascended Lord Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And you may remember how I pointed out the joy of knowing that the Lord personally prays for us individually. He prays for us. He prays not for the world, but for those given to Him by the Father. He said that in John 17:9 in His high priestly prayer. And our Lord, as the exalted King of Kings and Lord of Lords, receives power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And there our ascended Lord not only reigns and intercedes and prepares a place for us, but He bestows upon us gifts. And it is so wonderful. We were so encouraged, even during the conference, to meet another young man that just lives not terribly far away. He and his wife and little girl that the Lord is thrusting into the ministry. It is so good that the Lord continues to give gifts now that He has ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. He gives pastors and teachers and evangelists, and how encouraged we are because His work goes on. He will continue His work, which He has begun, and He will finish it. Now, He also directs providence for our good. Brother Mack and I were reflecting on that that even in everything in our lives, God has directed. And because our ascended Savior has now sat down on that throne and is working all things after the counsel of his own will, because now the kingdom is his. It is the mediatorial kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The time will come when he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. But he must reign until all his enemies are put under his feet. And it is our duty to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, because of our intimate yet mystical union with Christ, we are certain that he will not remain in heaven where he is and leave us down here. He will waft the souls of his elect people one by one up to where he is, even before the body is ever put into the grave. The soul of the believer will be present with the Lord where he is. And we know where he is. He is seated at the Father's right hand in the highest heaven. And the glorious day is coming when he will come to this earth with our glorified spirits to be forever reunited with our resurrected bodies. And the whole ransomed church of God will be together and forever with the Lord. There will be no more parting. And my heart is a little heavy tonight because we got word about a dear sister in the Lord. A young lady. She was in the same class that we taught years ago with the pastor across the road. They're now in their 50s, and she has been blessed of the Lord to be victorious over cancer, which was a life-threatening cancer twice over the years. But now it looks as though that she will go to be with the Lord. So we love her very much. She was a wonderful student. Barbara had her for 3 years. And God bless her tonight. I know that there was a text that was received by my wife this morning just as she was coming into Family Sunday School about that dear girl. Okay. Now, but we have a bright future when we will be forever with the Lord, never to part again for all of those in Christ. In our hymns of grace and glory, number 415, we have those wonderful verses 5 and 6. And though here below, mid sorrow and woe, my place is in heaven with Jesus, I know. And this I shall find, for such is his mind. He'll not be in glory and leave me behind. But you know, it's wonderful to know where we will be with the Lord. We know where the Lord is right now. We know where our loved ones have gone to be with the Lord, because we believe the Word of God very clearly. And both the Heidelberg Catechism as well as our Westminster Standards reject the teaching of the ubiquity of Christ's human body. Now, the ubiquity of Christ's human body simply means that there are those who believe that as Christ's deity, as eternal God, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. But his human body is only in one place. His human nature is there on the throne. Now, the Bible repeatedly declares that Christ's body is at the right hand of the Father on high. But Christ's deity, of course, is as omnipresent as the Father is omnipresent, and as the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. But his body, his human nature, is in one place only, on the throne. And so we know that location because of the scripture. Of course, our Savior is not tied to that throne, because we read of him making appearances. We know that he stood up from that throne when the martyr Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was being stoned. He looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And why was Jesus standing? But to support him, but to strengthen him, and to welcome him home in a few minutes. He was standing up to welcome the martyr Stephen home, because he shortly got there. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ appeared not only standing there, but on the road to Damascus, that Christ was seen by the apostle very clearly, and it messed his eyes up probably for the rest of his life, but in a good way. He saw the Lord, and the scales fell off his eyes three days later. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is also in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. Christ is walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. And if you know your Greek New Testament, you know they're not tallow cow candles. They are lampstands. They are, the word is a lamp. And even the Hebrew menorah, which the lampstand really was, those were all wick oil fed, not burning themselves up, but simply drawing that oil from the out of the lamp. So he is the one in the midst, walking in the midst of the lampstands. Now, this is obviously metaphorical, spiritualized walking, that Christ is spiritually present in all of his churches and carefully inspecting the spiritual condition of each congregation and ministering to them according to what he clearly sees and knows with his all-seeing eyes. The term seated on the right hand of God, what a wonderful thing, seated. It means that the very place of supreme honor and glory, to be on the right hand. Of course, the Father is co-equal, co-essential, and co-eternal with Christ, so that Christ has been exalted to the very place and the condition that he asked the Father for. Do you remember when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, also in his high priestly prayer there in verse 5, he said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So you see that our Savior has such glory. It is more than a single glory. It is at least a twofold glory that our Savior possesses as he sits there in that resplendent shining upon that throne. It is glorified humanity. It is the eternal essential glory, first of all, as a member of the Holy Trinity, his essential glory. But you know that he also has a mediatorial glory that he has earned by fulfilling every covenant engagement involved in accomplishing our redemption. It is his special reward for his perfect obedience to the Father's plan and to the Father's will. Our exalted King is endued with all power in heaven and in earth. His accomplished victory over all the powers of darkness are our victory. That is our victory. Over all of the evil in the universe, our Savior has been victorious. And He is our victory. He is our protection from all of the demons and spiritual darkness that exists. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And we are told that so clearly. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 18. Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. Isn't that a wonderful way that that old King James English puts it? To usward. Directed very personally to God's elect people. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? And how do we believe anyway? According to the working of His mighty power. We believe because of the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So do you see that over all principality and powers? You know, we are later in Ephesians chapter 6. We are told about these principalities and powers. You look down at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that there's plenty of spiritual wickedness in high places in our land today. But praise God, in Christ, we have the victory. And we are protected from all of these principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual darkness. Because Christ is victorious. We are seated with Him in the heavenlies. And we are cared for and protected by our great Savior. Now, Psalm 2 that we sang at the beginning is about Jesus, our King. It really is. The nations are His inheritance that we sang about earlier. His word calls to faith and repentance, but He does not simply make an offer, an invitation in weakness. He does not make a suggestion, but He gives a royal summons commanding repentance, just as Acts 17, verse 30. He commands repentance there. You remember Acts 17, 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And what does He do in Psalm 2 and verse 12? He commands us, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. The command is very clear, to submit to the Son of God right there in that second psalm, because He is the King, our King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know that psalm ends not only with repentance, but also with faith. Blessed, happy are all they that put their trust in Him. For those who trust in the Lord, those who have faith and rest and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed are they, are all they that put their trust in him. I said earlier that the right hand is the position of honor. Note that when Jesus speaks in Matthew 25 and verse 33 of the sheep and the goats, that he was very clear that he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. Our Savior King, sitting on the throne, sitting signifies so many things. Obviously, sitting on the right hand is the place of honor and glory. But you know, servants stand, but masters sit. Sitting is an honor. Sitting, secondly, is not only an honor, it shows authority. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, there is a very clear prophecy of the kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The scripture says there, "Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne." Our Lord Jesus Christ is not only the king upon his throne, he is also the priest upon his throne. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. So sitting not only shows honor, it also signifies authority. Thirdly, sitting denotes rest. Isn't it a blessing after a hard day's work to just sit down? What a blessing. Sitting denotes rest. After Christ labors his extreme suffering for us, he enjoys the rest that his Father promised him. The Father said to him, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And then sitting not only signifies rest and authority and honor, sitting signifies an undisturbed abiding in one place for an extended time. It's interesting. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 38. Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. The word for dwelt, if you look it up in your concordance, if you've got a good Young's concordance, I believe Young's is the best. Some people say Strong for the strong, Young's for the Young's, and Cruden's for the crude. But I prefer Young's. Young's has right there the Greek and the Hebrew words. And for the whole huge column of dwell and the multitude of references throughout the Old Testament, the alternate meaning, in fact, the main meaning of dwell, is to sit. And this word, Yashab, for Shimei sat in Jerusalem many days, and he could be glad he was sitting, because if he stopped sitting and got up and left, he would be a dead man. And he was. In the light of our exalted Savior King being upon his throne, let us daily do as all the creatures of God did in Revelation chapter 5. And you know that well. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 5. And there in verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns," speaking of his power, "and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." And we will look at that matter of the spirit coming forth, sent forth into all the earth. Because if you carefully study the work of the Holy Spirit, there are seven main works that all the other works of the Spirit fall under. Not seven different Holy Spirits, but seven particular ministries that the Holy Spirit exercises. But here we have, Verse 7, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that is the Father, handed him the book. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, that is the four living ones, it's simply the word Zoe, which is our word for that we get our word zoology from. And it means a living creature. And they're not some horrible beast. But when they had taken the book, the four living ones and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are under are in the sea and that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living ones said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And that is our privilege to join them, because everyone in heaven and in earth, all the creatures, were bowing and worshiping him along with his Father seated upon the throne. So we come tonight to this matter, just opening tonight the fact that our blessed Savior ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.